In China, a major purchase at a tough sentence.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A Chinese court today has sentenced four employees of the British and Australian mining giant Rio Tinto to jail terms of 7 to 14 years for bribery and stealing commercial secrets. The judge said the crimes caused major losses to the Chinese steel industry. Chinese car maker Geely is buying Volvo for $1.8 billion. It's the biggest acquisition so far by the fast-growing Chinese auto industry. And what are the buyers getting for their money? Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
It might seem the Chinese are buying some valuable know-how for their $1.8 billion. After all, Volvo's advertising has long stressed its cutting-edge safety systems and other high-tech features.
The front structure of the new Volvo XC60 was designed to distribute collision energy over the entire car body.
Volvo may be a Swedish brand, but much of its technology has been developed under Ford's ownership in recent years. At CSM Worldwide, auto industry analyst Michael Robinette says that's why it's likely the American automaker set some limits on the sale to the Chinese so it doesn't end up finding itself competing against its own technologies.
Essentially, every Volvo vehicle is based off of a Ford platform, so certainly Ford technology is part and parcel of the Volvo network right now.
Robinette says the Chinese buyers are getting their hands on other valuable assets, including a global dealer network and a respected name.
Geely will definitely carry forward the Volvo brand name. It has great brand equity, so certainly they would be foolish to allow that to die with the sale.
Indeed, Volvo's labor unions were careful to ensure that before they approved the deal. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Asian stock markets were mostly higher today. Shares there rose about 0.5% after some stronger earnings from Chinese companies and the deal in Europe to give Greece a financial safety net. European shares are up about 0.5% now. On Wall Street, on Friday, the Dow added 9 points, closing at 10,850. Well, Congress has enacted the historic health care overhaul. Now comes the hard part, enforcing it. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Gregory Warner has that.
For the last 3 years, Alan Cohen has had to file an extra form with his Massachusetts state tax return to prove
that we have purchased insurance, or at least we have employer-sponsored coverage of some type.
Cohen directs the Boston University Health Policy Institute. Massachusetts requires residents to have insurance coverage. With the new health care reform bill, when the federal mandate to buy insurance takes effect in 2014, the IRS will be enforcing it. State commissions will be in charge of making sure insurance companies conform to the new law. Tom Diener is a health care consultant and former state Medicaid director. He says if insurance companies don't comply, states could bar them from participating in the sure-to-be-lucrative exchanges, where they sell insurance to individuals and small businesses.
Yeah, so if you're an insurance plan, you want to be a part of the insurance exchange. And you're going to make the changes in your policies and your practices to make sure that that happens.
Proving every stick needs a carrot as well. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/news. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com. And by Vanguard, reacting to the stock market is investing. Taking stock in long term is vanguarding. More about vanguarding at vanguard.com.
With President Obama visiting Afghanistan, the chairman of his Joint Chiefs of Staff said the key to the war strategy there is the battleground city of Kandahar. Kandahar is the spiritual home of the Taliban opposition, and the U.S. is counting on not just military success there, but a public relations victory. That might have something to do with a recent announcement that the U.S. military is shutting down a group of well-known American businesses on its base in that city. We're joined by the Kabul bureau chief for the McClatchy Newspapers, Dion Nissenbaum. Welcome.
Thank you.
Will you describe the Kandahar boardwalk for us?
Yeah, you know, by American standards, it's a dusty square, and there's a Subway sandwiches. There's a new PGAI Fridays on one corner. There's a small hockey rink where they usually have nightly hockey games that was brought by the Canadians. And there's also a new basketball court that's come around since the Americans have started to come in a bit more.
These restaurants that are facing a shutdown, TGI Fridays and others, they are there on the base to cater to American soldiers and other base personnel. Why does the military say it's shutting them down?
Well, the military says with the new soldiers and coalition forces that are coming in, they basically need to create more space on the base. Of course, there's also a sense that this is as much about sort of the perception of having, you know, a slice of Western culture in the middle of Afghanistan. And in Kandahar, obviously, that's the spiritual home of the Taliban. And so it's especially sensitive, I think, to have these kinds of concessions right there, especially on the eve of the coalition attempt to drive the Taliban out of Kandahar.
It's an unusual position for these American corporations to be in. I guess they serve at the military's pleasure. So does that mean the shutdown is a done deal? It's going to happen?
Well, they've exempted a Green Beans coffee house, a Canadian favorite, Tim Hortons, will remain open. But the other places are all, I think, going to be packing up. And I imagine there probably will be a fair amount of discussion about the contracts and whatever clauses there are for breaking them.
So the Canadian restaurant stays. Diane Nissenbaum is the bureau chief in Kabul for the McClatchy newspapers. Diane, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And finally, the ad agency Ogilvy One Worldwide is looking for the world's greatest salesperson. The agency tells the New York Times advertising has become more about razzle-dazzle than actually selling stuff. So they're challenging contestants in 15 countries to create an ad for a brick, a red brick. Winner gets a 3-month sales job because the agency says if you can sell a brick, maybe you can sell anything. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.